Tonight, I want to talk about living life to the full. You know, some people live their life at a minimum level, barely getting by. We got to realize that there are several ways you can live life. Some people are living on barely get along street, while others are living the good life. God wants us to experience the good life, everything that he has planned for us. And we all know John 10:10. I'm going to read it from the New International. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. The New Living Translation, my purpose is to give them a rich, satisfying life. Well, it's not a rich, satisfying life if you're living on barely get along street. Right? This one verse shows us that he came to this earth to give us life spiritually, but also that we would have natural life, a good natural life. I know that he wants us to have a good natural life because if you go read how he blessed the people in the Bible, look how he blessed Abraham. And he says that in the Word of God, it says that the descendants of Abraham are heirs to that promise that he gave to Abraham. And if you'll go study it, and there's a book back there you can get to my dad, a sermon he wrote, Redeemed from the Curse of Poverty, Sickness, and Death. That means spiritual death. We are to enjoy life in the natural, but you can't enjoy life in the natural until you enjoy life in the spiritual side. They coincide. I say it all the time, but people don't realize it, that we live in a natural, we are a spiritual person living in a natural world. We live in a spiritual world and the natural world at the same time. Sort of like a train. It runs on two tracks. And if you take one of the tracks away, it's chaos. That's what's the matter. There's some people trying to be all spiritual, and there's some people trying to be all natural. It don't work. It's the natural and the supernatural working together that make the explosive force for God. Okay? I believe God wants us to have a better life than he wants us to have a great life. I mean, I know when Lynette and I got married back in 1965, we thought that if we'd ever just pastor a church from 300 to 500 people and maybe drive a Cadillac and maybe go on a vacation to Hawaii once, that we'd had a successful life. I had no idea what God had planned. As I followed him, hey, my life has been far beyond anything that I've ever even thought about. You know, some people are waiting for someday. Well, you know, tell you what, someday never comes. Today is the day that you decide that you're going to press forward into God and receive all of the blessings that he has for you. Some people say, I'm waiting on God. No, you're not waiting on God. He's already done everything he's going to do about you having a successful life. He's waiting on you to decide to get into the scripture and know the word of God and begin to claim what belongs to you from the word of God. If you're a born again Christian, it belongs to you already. But you're going to have to take it. He said the promised land belonged to the children of Israel, but they had to go in and possess it. You know, one person said, he said it like this: the future always begins now. Because what you do today affects your tomorrow. The decisions you make today affects your tomorrow. The reading of the word and the praying that you do today affects your tomorrow. The decisions you make today will affect your tomorrow. You know, Paul was a man that lived life to the maximum. You know, he did everything with all that he could, spiritually and naturally. You know, I've always been that way. Anything I do it with everything I got. You know, one time a coach told me, he said, "Hagin, you play because I know that you'll give me everything you got. Some guys, they don't give me everything." You know, I got that from my dad. My dad told me, he said, "Son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't even do it at all." That was his motto. That's the way he lived. He taught me to do that. I've taught my kids and grandkids the same thing. You know what? The future is not a long way off. The future is tomorrow. Everybody talking about the future, but they're looking way over here, way down the tracks. But actually, your future is tomorrow. It started. Your future started today. Every day, you got a new future. Every day. Your future, in your future, maybe I should say it that way, lies the possibility of all the blessings of God. It's whether or not we are pursuing them with the Word of God coming out of our mouth. I say it all the time. It's my wife's favorite scriptures. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. All things. That's everything. That's not just spiritual. That's everything. And, of course, my favorite scripture is Luke 18:27. When it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. Do you know with God there is not an impossibility? Turn to your neighbor and say, "Did you know with God there's nothing impossible?" In the natural, we come up against impossibilities. But with God, nothing is impossible. You know, when I was growing up, I thought maybe I'd be a geologist or a meteorologist. And I read all of, you know, when I was in junior high school, I read all the books there were on about geology and all the books about meteorology. And then I thought I might want to be a race car driver. So I read every book in the junior high school library about racing. Why? Because if I'm going to go that direction, I need to know something about it. You have to pursue it, you know. But when I was 17, I answered the call of God on my life to be in the ministry. And through the years, I've been faithful to pursue it. And today, I am still pursuing that prize to fulfill the calling of God on my life. I'm not satisfied with where I am because I don't feel like that I have ever made it yet. I want to share with some things tonight. And we're going to read from Paul in Philippians 3:13-14. He said, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing." This is the NLT. "Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Now the voice leads it like this: "Brothers and sisters, that I've said, I have not arrived, but this one thing I do, I'm leaving my old life behind and putting everything on the line for this mission. I'm sprinting toward the goal that counts, to cross the line and win the prize, to hear God's call to the resurrection life found exclusively in Jesus' anointing." We see Paul here saying, even as he is writing Philippians, in which he wrote when he was in prison, he was writing to the Philippians, and he is saying, I haven't finished yet. I haven't achieved yet. You see, many people, they reach a certain plateau, they reach a certain goal, naturally and spiritually, and they say, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, isn't this great? Hey, but there's more, but you have to pursue it. God's not going to push you. You're going to have to go after it. He's already done it. He's already set it up for you. You know, here, the story in 1873 in Dublin, Dwight L. Moody heard a British evangelist, Henry Varley, say these words, "The world has yet to see what God will do with a man or a person who is fully and wholly consecrated to the Holy Spirit." And later on, Moody said, he said a man or a person. He didn't say a great person or man. He didn't say a learned man. He didn't say a rich man. But he said simply a man. I'm a man, and it lies within in the man himself whether he will make it or will not make it. I must try my uttermost to be that man. Whether I use the word man, you can put person in there, or lady, or woman, whatever. But that's, see, God's not looking for somebody special. He's looking for somebody that will consecrate themselves and follow him. Did you ever notice that the only real qualified natural in the natural among all the apostles was the apostle Paul? The rest of them weren't qualified. The apostle Paul had been to the University of Tarsus. Saul was his name before they changed it to Paul. He most likely was a member of the Sanhedrin, if you'll study. He was very learned. In fact, he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That means he was a high up in the hierarchy. All the other apostles and people were just normal, natural people. God will put you and qualify you to do whatever he's got you doing, naturally and spiritually. I tell this story all the time, but it was in the natural, but I used the spiritual principle to get there. I was working the freight dock, going to Bible school, and Sims come around asking everybody, can you do this, can you do this, can you do that? And all down the line, there was two car loads of us that drove up there every day to work. And all them said, no, no, no. He got to me and he said, Hagin, can you do it, do this? And I said, yeah, I can do it, Sims. And he is the foreman. And he went on by and a guy, he rode in my car. He's one of them, the guy. He said, Hagin, you don't know how to do that. I said, well, the word of God said I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm depending on him to help me. Plus, we didn't have no, you're talking about 1959. We didn't have computers, but I told him, I said, we got a library and I'm going to go there. And I got a buddy that works in that area. And, I'm going to call him. You know, I had to wait till I got back to the dorm because we didn't have no cell phones back then. You had to either find a pay phone or something. And by the next day, I was ready to try to go and to accomplish that. I used my natural ability that I knew, and I used my spiritual ability. That's what I want you to get a hold of, is God has plans for each one of us, and they're different. He doesn't want anybody to be a clone. It really upsets me sometimes when I see different churches trying to be exactly like another church. God doesn't want, if he wanted everybody to be the same, he would have them all come in one big church. No, we're all different. Some people like me, and some people don't like me as pastor. Well, that's all right. They might like somebody down the street better. Hey, have you ever noticed that when there's only one restaurant in town, that's the one everybody goes to. But when a new restaurant comes, some people go start going to the other restaurant because they like it better. Hello, anybody going home yet? Praise the Lord. What I'm trying to say to you is God wants you to be you. He wants you to excel in the natural. He wants you to excel in the spiritual and be all you can be. The knowledge of God's word is essential if we are going to rise up and be all that he wants us to be in both areas of life. Have you ever noticed it takes the same discipline to be a strong Christian as it does to excel in life or to excel on the athletic field? Nobody ever excels in life or excelled on the athletic field just because they said, oh, I want to be a football player. No, you learn how to be a football player. You study other people that play that position that you play. Come on. In the natural, if you want to excel in a job, you have to study and find out about that job. If you want to get into leadership, you gotta study and find and know something about leadership. Come on now. What I'm trying to say is that it is essential if we are going to be all that God wants us to be in life, spiritually and naturally, then we've got to know what the Word of God has to say. You see, the Word of God is what puts us in a position by doing what the Word of God tells us to do, puts us in a position to prosper naturally. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. I see people all the time praying for God to bless them financially, and they haven't paid any tithes and they haven't given an offering. God can't bless you unless you're doing in the natural, unless you're doing some things that you're supposed to be doing in the spiritual. Okay, I'll go on. Do you know you have to understand that something is possible for you to have before you can have an expectation to receive it? And the Word of God tells us that all things are possible if we believe. It didn't say all spiritual things. It said all things. That means in the natural. That means just naturally. You've heard me say, I pray for parking places. I pray for good bargains. If I'm going out to buy shirts, pants, sport coat, boots, whatever. I pray for bargains. I believe the Lord will give me a bargain. Come on now. See, some people, they everything's spiritual. They don't ever pull it over to the natural. If you ever notice that if you will take what the Word of God says about being blessed and do what the Word says to do, you'll be blessed. Number one, don't ever pray, God bless me. Pray, God make me a blessing and you'll be blessed. Somebody said, where'd you learn that? From a man that I'm named after, that I lived in his house. I grew up underneath him. He never prayed, Lord bless me. He said, son, don't pray the Lord to bless you. If you want the Lord to bless you, then bless somebody. Well, I could really go on that, but I'm gonna stop right now. Did you know one fella, I read this, said high achievement always takes place in the framework of high expectations. My dad used to tell me, and he said, son, set your goals high. And if you only reach half of them, you've done something. If you set your goals low and reach them all, you haven't done nothing. Dream big with God, both in the natural and the spiritual. Come on. So I want to talk to you tonight about this verse of scripture that we read. That's just a lot of introduction. So you can live the maximum in natural and spiritual. Philippians 3:13 says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past. You've got to let, just like Paul, you've got to let the past be exactly that, the past. Whatever happened stays in the past. It's in our past, and we shouldn't let it bother us for our future. We should make up our mind that the past is buried. When we become born again, the old things passed away. You bury that, so don't dig them up. You can't make positive progress if you're always thinking about what it could have been or what it should have been. Letting go of the past comes before you can pursue your future. You can't do the both at the same time. The enemy loves to keep people thinking and remembering the past. Well, I remember what so-and-so did to me. Who cares? That's their problem. Forgive them and go on. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to you. Well, you ever read what people say about me? And you know what? I don't care. I'm doing what God asked me to do the way I feel like God wants me to. And it doesn't matter what they say. I don't even get upset about it. Some people get upset. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Hey, they're going to have to answer for that. They got to answer for their life. I've got to answer for my life. You've got to answer for your life. Other church members don't have to answer for you. You've got to answer for yourself. Hey, let it go. I don't even worry about it. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Some people always want to condemn you. Hey, that's their problem. A person cannot make progress toward a future while looking back. Any of you ran track in high school or college? What is the cardinal rule? You don't ever look back. You keep your eye on the finish line. What's happening behind you is not important. What's happening in front of you is important. I lost a race one time because I looked, just glanced like this. And we were in a, I think it was a six-lane track, and I'm in the outside lane, and he's on the inside lane, and we had distanced ourselves about 10 or 15 yards in front of everybody else, and we're coming down in front of the stands. We come off the curve on the 220 coming down the straight, and I didn't hear anything. Normally, you can hear them behind you. You can hear them running. You can hear them pounding and sometimes even breathing. But I wasn't hearing nothing. And my mind began to say, hey, and I did. That day, for you run track. I rolled out right on the gun. I mean, I was right on it. If you run track, you know what I'm talking about, especially if you're a sprinter. And my mind started saying, because I knew I got a fantastic start, they started saying, my mind started saying, you're out here running all by yourself. He fired a second shot because it was a false start, and you're out here making a fool out of yourself. And I kept going. Finally, I just sort of glanced like that, and on the inside, there was he was right here, just, I mean, half a step behind me. I lost a half a step, or a step and a half, really, about a step, because we went across the finish line, 1/100th of a second, I lost. Why? Because I took my eyes off of the goal in front of me and began to worry about stuff around me. Hey, what am I saying? Paul said, forget that. He said, forget all of that. There, and he went on to say, he was looking forward to what lies ahead. He stated he focused on what God had for him in the future. I don't know who this lady is. They said her name is Grandma Moses. I never heard of her. I don't know who she is. But she said this, life is what we make it. Always has been and always will be. I'm sure somebody will get on and Google it and find out who she was. But I started to and I said, I ain't going to. Every person in the Bible who achieved something great had to go after it. It just didn't happen. Abraham had to leave his country and go start off to where God told him to go. And he didn't even know where it was. He said, I'm looking for a city. Moses showed up and delivered Israel out of Egypt. Some said, well, God did it. No, God used a man, a person. David killed the giant. But it was God that strengthened him. He had to do it. What I'm trying to say to you is that it's God, but you're doing it. See, some people want to let, so they sit back, well, I'm waiting for God to move. No, God's waiting for you to move, and then he'll start doing something. Smith Wigglesworth said, I move God. How do you move God? By saying what the word says and having faith and stepping out over the aching void of nothingness with nothing under you but the word of God. God's word said it, I believe it, that settles it. Did you know life is like riding a bicycle? You don't fall off unless you quit pedaling. If you keep moving forward, life will keep going on. Blessings will keep coming. But do you know what? God will let you settle down wherever you think you want to settle down, and that's as far as you'll ever get. I am not satisfied with where I am yet. Thank God for all that I have. Thank God for all that he's given to me. But I believe there's more. I believe there's more because the word of God tells me that. You know, now let me give you some things real quick. Oh, Lord, it's time, isn't it? I'm taking too much time. I hope you're getting something out of this. Let me give you a few things here. It's practical ways to pursue your full potential and live life to the max. Take time to plan ahead for the future that God has for you. Accomplish all you can today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. Some people begin to think about tomorrow so much that they never accomplish anything today. So accomplish what you can today. Planning ahead will make that possible. Take time to outline steps that will lead you to fulfilling your potential and receiving all the blessings of God. The Bible says the steps of a person are ordered by God. God doesn't lead you by one giant leap. He leads you one step at a time. I like to say it like this. God has never put a floodlight on what I'm supposed to do. It's more like a flashlight, and I can see about two or three steps, and I take those, but I notice when I take those that the light moves. He's never given me a floodlight and showed me way down there. He just leads me one step at a time. See, too many people are waiting for God to give them the whole picture. God don't do that. If he did that, you wouldn't have to live by faith. You'd already have. You could see it. He wants you to walk by faith, live by faith, and believe that you can receive. You know, let's look at another thing here. Correct things that need to be corrected. Get rid of things that are hindering you from accomplishing what God has want you to accomplish. Do the right thing at the right time. Do you realize that God can show you something and it may not be the right time for it? Make sure that you do it at the right time. There's an old proverb that says, who says it can't be done should get out of the way of the person doing it. It can't be done doesn't exist with God. Okay? I'm giving you these things. Understand what God's word said about your future. Make an effort to put your past behind you. Take every opportunity to pursue what God has for you. And remember, your future starts now. When you do, you'll find out that things will be a lot different. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few moments tonight to stir up their pure hearts and minds, to get them to realize that you have a spiritual future plan for them, but you have a natural future, and you want to bless them in both arenas. Father, I pray that whatever our words have been said tonight, I know everyone didn't need all of them, but everybody needed some of them. And may each individual take that part that was needed, take it into their life and make the changes necessary so that we all can live the good life that you want us to live. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Everybody stand up. You get anything out of this tonight? I realize that, you know, on Wednesday night when I speak, I try to speak on something that will help you both spiritually and naturally, because God is interested in our natural life as well as our spiritual life. But your natural life will never be blessed until your spiritual life is where it's supposed to be. Amen. Praise the Lord.